I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Irresistible Maelstrom Meets Immovable Massacre. It's the men against the women of roller derby. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for a look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
You get all the cool assignments.
Absolutely true. The Memphis Grizzlies will meet the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA's Western Conference Finals. You have mentioned the Spurs' unwillingness to, quote, get out of the way before. Do they step aside this time for the Grizzlies?
No, but I think the Grizzlies can shove them aside. The Grizzlies actually have a nice little path to the NBA Finals right now. And I think right now they're playing just about as well as anybody in the league. So I do think it will be a long series. The Spurs will not give way easily, but they will give way.
The Sacramento Kings will stay in Sacramento one day after NBA owners voted to block the team's move to Seattle. The current owners agreed to sell the team to software billionaire Vivek Ranadive. And are you surprised by this turn of events?
Well, I'm a little bit surprised. I'm a little bit sad because, you know, what dirt was done to Seattle in terms of losing their franchise. But then again, you're starting to, if you're rooting to help out a city that had its franchise stolen by letting it steal another city's franchise, you're sort of tying yourself up in ethical knots. So, you know, Sacramento's, it's absurd to have an NBA franchise in Sacramento, but we're going to have one for a while.
The current, though not for long, co-owner of the Sacramento team, George Maloof, hid in a closet after the will of the NBA became clear. I assume his attempts to avoid reporters by doing that were not successful.
Well, the problem with hiding in a closet is that sooner or later you have to, like, come out of the closet.
Unless
as it were.
Stockpiled food and water.
We're falling into an old South Park episode here. I mean, unless there's like a back, how many closets do you know have like back doors that let you out onto the driveway? So yes, the reporters just sort of waited around outside the closet until he came back out.
In other basketball news, WNBA number one draft pick Brittany Griner has apparently decided to warm up for the season by learning a new shot. Who's her teacher?
Well, none other than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's teaching her the skyhook. And I think this is a brilliant idea, and why more very tall male basketball players don't take advantage of this tutorial is beyond me.
The NHL defending champion LA Kings struggled a bit this season, but now they've won 12 games in a row at home, and they are up in their second round series against the San Jose Sharks. So is this one of these peaking at the right time sort of stories?
Well, I mean, because of the truncated season and the accelerated playoff schedule, anything unusual can happen in the NHL playoffs this year, and obviously the Kings have decided to get hot at the right time.
This week, a Chicago law firm filed a wrongful death lawsuit on behalf of the family of former NHL enforcer Derek Bogard, who died in 2011 of an accidental drug overdose. Bogard was 28 years old, and an autopsy of his brain showed evidence of chronic traumatic encephalopathy. But brain damage is not the whole story here, is it?
No, the family is arguing that both the team and the league acted negligently in regards to Bogard's death, especially in prescribing him painkillers. And some of the details in the lawsuit are astonishing. For example, in 2008-2009, Bogard received from the medical staff of the Minnesota Wild 40 prescriptions for a total of 1,201 painkillers. Now, I mean, you do that on the street and the FBI comes knocking at your door at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The Minnesota Vikings have revealed drawings of their proposed new stadium. To me, it looks like one of those giant cathedrals that's home to a televangelist. What do you think?
Yeah, it's got a clear roof. It's got a flying buttress. Giant windows. It has a prow. I was about to say a prow. And it does. It looks like something that dropped in from like Jedi headquarters in Star Wars.
NASCAR lost one of its greats this week. Charlie, Dick Trickle died of an apparent suicide at the age of 72. I was not paying attention to stock car racing during the era when Trickle won 67 short track races in a single year, but perhaps you were?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, because a lot of the races took place in Wisconsin, and because I lived there for a while, and he was a very big celebrity in Wisconsin. They called him the White Knight because his car was white. I mean, he was a specialist in an era where the specialty was sort of dying out and being swallowed up by the major corporate entity that was NASCAR.
O.J. Simpson, currently serving a sentence of 9 to 33
Another
years.
Another person I've missed from the news, by the way.
9 to 33 years is what he's serving in prison for armed robbery, kidnapping, and other charges. Back in court this week, he claims he was sent to prison for following the advice of his attorney, which sounds a little unlikely. Explain, please.
Well, according to him, he got thrown in jail for allegedly stealing his own memorabilia back from people who owned it. Of course, O.J. says, it was my stuff. I followed what I thought was the law. My lawyer told me I couldn't break into a guy's room. Good lawyer right there.
He didn't do that.
You can't break into a guy's room. He says he didn't anyway. I didn't try to muscle the guys. The guys had my stuff, even though they claimed they didn't steal it. No, they bought it.
You have to wonder if it ever occurred to him to find another lawyer.
I wonder if it ever occurred to him that, like, he should have gone off and, you know, having hit the criminal justice lotto once in his life, he should have gone off and lived on a farm somewhere.
Finally, Charlie, Roman Abramovich.
Sports!
This is sports.
No,
this
it's
guy,
not. No,
this,
it's not.
This Russian gentleman owns the English Premiership side Chelsea, and he also owns the world's largest private luxury yacht, which he brought into New York City recently. And I know it's a stretch as a sports story, but I just couldn't resist the chance to ask you to describe this yacht for me.
Well, first of all, it is almost as big as the Bismarck was. It's two-thirds the size of the Bismarck, which, like, dominated, you know, Atlantic shipping in the early years of World War II.
And it has more armaments.
Oh, well, we'll start with it. It has a missile defense system,
sure.
Armor plating, bulletproof windows, a laser shield system to deter paparazzi. Now, I don't know that that means you can't take pictures, or if you try to take a picture, you render a pile of smoking meat on the dock.
Camera explodes in
your face. But it also has two swimming pools, a private cinema, a discotheque, two helipads, and a submarine against the advent of a quick getaway.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway. This is not a yacht.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places. Charlie, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
In May of 1941, the war had just begun. The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees.